This morning, we'll be continuing our series on knowing Jesus, and we're hoping that all of us together at New Hope Community Church, those who are watching online and local, or maybe the recording, that we're all desiring that, Lord, we want to look more and more like Jesus. We don't want to just settle for a plateau. We don't want to just have victory stories and testimonies from 5 or 20 or 50 years ago. God, we want to know you today. God, we want to be part of your kingdom expansion, both locally and globally, until all men and women on this planet have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's message I entitled Serving Together, and it's going to be a little bit shorter, and every time I say that, usually my messages are longer, but my goal is actually to keep it shorter, if I can, Lord help me, with the purpose of really looking at some application to what we're going to hear. Jesus often said, we want to be hearers of God's word, which we really want to hear God's word. We want to be exposed to God's word daily. But he also said to be doers of God's word. And so we're going to be focusing on some hearing today, receiving from God's word. But also, Glenn and I, in a couple minutes, we'll be talking about what are some practical ways we actually could put this into practice this week. And that's how we grow together towards maturity in Christ. It's not just knowing about Jesus and his word, but it's putting it into practice. And let me tell you, there is so much joy when we step out and activate the Word of God in us through the power of faith and the Holy Spirit. There's great joy that comes when we're growing and we're taking steps of faith and we're seeing what God's Word says and we bring it into reality as we apply it with His help. It's exciting. It's scary. The world will be changed. It's awesome. We'll look totally like Christ as we go out to do that more and more. So what we're going to be looking at as we're going through our series is in Philippians chapter 2. And really, as I was looking at this, really chapter 2 is, as a letter, the whole thing in the book would have been read all at one time. We're taking it in segments. But in chapter 2, for sure, there's a whole theme of humility, of looking to Jesus, as Christ being that example who died for us on the cross, that we're all supposed to be of that one mind and that one purpose like Christ, who didn't think of just thinking about himself as the only thing out there, but considered others and their interests and go out and do that. So Paul's encouraging the church at Philippi, let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus in such a way that the humility of representing or reflecting Christ in us, we would look like lights or stars. I was mentioning that last week. Lights or stars shining in the universe. Because I want to say this because today is really just a practical expression of what we've been learning for the last 2 weeks. It's going to give an example. Paul's writing about two individuals who really were examples of having humility, serving the gospel of Jesus together. And so let's look at that today, these two examples, and we're going to be looking at some practical ways of how we could apply that in our current context this upcoming week. So Philippians 2, and we're going to start in verse 19 to the end of the chapter, verse 30. Paul writes this. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. And just as a quick refresher, Paul's writing this from prison. So he wants to send Timothy, and he wants to hopefully come if he's able to. Let's continue in verse 25. I thought it necessary to send to you I always mess up his name, Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for your word. God, thank you how you spoke through Paul to the church at Philippi. And God, I pray that over 2,000 years later, that today, Lord, you would speak to us, God, God, that you would change us and inform us, convict us, encourage us, challenge, whatever you want to do, Lord. We just want to be open, God, open servants for you to be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to look at a couple of the characters mentioned just briefly this morning as we're talking about this theme of serving together. So once again, if you're wondering, how are we supposed to serve? Paul's saying, look at Jesus. Look at how he went to the cross, he lived his life, and he died. That's what we're supposed to be about. So Paul, we'll learn more about this next week, but just a little refresher on Paul. Paul, he has a really religious background. He was a Pharisee, a religious leader. He was a Hebrew. He was really zealous. He actually formerly had a whole kind of purpose of persecuting the church. But as many of us know, God radically changed his life, and now here he is being one of the biggest proponents and writing letters to see the church expand. And I love that reminder that God can save even the most, what we think is the wicked, most far gone, far out, unreachable person is not beyond God's grace. Amen? And so sometimes when you see stuff on the news or those who are attacking Christians or those who are proposing everything else except God, like, Lord, would you have mercy on that man or that woman? God, would you save them? Would they know the gospel of Jesus? And would they, instead of be wanting to hurt people or have different agendas, may they have the agenda of the kingdom of God. So anyways, God's just amazing. So that's Paul. Paul is a radical testimony. His story, if we could get that on video like Ben's, you'd just be like, whoa, only God. That's Paul. So he's writing. He's writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy refers to as his son, but he's talking about his son in the faith. And you'll actually see in the New Testament several letters written to Timothy, who's a young pastor that Paul was mentoring and really had a close relationship with, and encouragement and teaching and mentoring and ongoing care through letters. He says to Timothy that he wants him to report back, but that also that there's no one that has the genuine concern for others that the way Timothy has for one another. And I know we asked that question intentionally at the beginning. How has someone genuinely cared for you or concerned? Or has that been showed to you? And you guys gave some great examples. Well, Timothy was one that lived that out. He genuinely cared for others. And in so much so that he would not just look at his own interests, that those who don't know Christ do, he would look at the interests of others. And we're going to come back to that in a moment. He was proven worth of sharing the gospel, and he was a servant in the gospel. He wanted to be used by Jesus for the glory of God and advancing that. Now, Epaphroditus, he is a brother in the Lord, Paul says, but he was also a soldier. So just so we're just going, we have Paul, a religious leader formerly, radically saved by Jesus, starting churches, sending letters, encouraging churches all over the place. You got Timothy, who's a young pastor, and then we also now have Epaphroditus, who is a soldier. And we don't know a lot about him from this passage, but we do learn he's a soldier. We learn that he's a messenger and a minister, that Paul wanted him to be sent and to be received with great joy because he had some kind of illness that looked like it was the end for him, but God in his mercy spared his life and that he was able to live. And Paul's encouragement is that folks that have been given their life for the gospel or almost to the end should be received with great joy and honored as their work and service for the Lord. So I just want to briefly just go over the three men in this passage, and then we'll look elsewhere in the Philippians as well. If you look in Timothy and stuff, the great exploits of both men and women who served together. But in this passage specifically, we have Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus serving together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at just for a couple moments of what it looks like to serve together. Now, as we're spread wide with church, with churches like online right now, we're not in person, sometimes it can be easy to fall into this idea that, we're distant, so I'll just kind of go into a solo mode. But the encouragement I want to give today is we are a body of Christ, and we desperately need to work together even during this time of COVID and these kind of isolation, separation things. And we gave examples earlier, text messages, cards, phone calls, praying for each other, encouragements, visits. There's a lot of things you guys shared this morning that gave a great example of applying that. But we want to serve it together. Christianity is not meant to be a solo sport. It's actually one where we work together. There's not supposed to be humans that are elevated to a point that we just look at them. We're supposed to be elevating Jesus together. I heard it once say, it's amazing what people can accomplish when nobody wants to receive the credit for it, right? When we all work in a place of humility where we want to honor Jesus and glorify him with humility and with unity. Now, let's just take for a moment, because I'm sure some of you might already be there. You're probably thinking like, all right, we're on church online, but my mind honestly is thinking about the football game later today. Rather, I know. I don't know if you're there. For me, I'll be honest, I didn't even know who was playing until I looked it up on Wikipedia. But whether you're for the Buccaneers or the Chiefs, just imagine we took, I have to look at this actually. Yeah, let's say take the Buccaneers. Imagine you took Tom Brady, right, 20 years with the Patriots, or 20 seasons, and imagine he just decides today that I'm just going to play the quarterback role all by myself. I'm just going to run every single play. I got a team I can work with. We're at the big game. I'm just going to run every single play. I've done this long enough. I think I can just run without even throwing to any of the receivers, and I'll just do what I want. I won't even communicate with my team. I'll just do it. Now, if you know football a whole lot better than I do, you know that he'll get crushed, terribly so, by the opposing forces. That football is actually meant to be a team sport, and there's a lot of sports that they're meant to be that. Christianity is meant to be a team sport where we work together, where one person's going out to serve, another might go with them, or maybe someone's providing some prayer coverage for that individual, that you're going out, like, hey, I want to go out and serve. I want to go out and bless the community. I want to go out and go to a different town, or maybe for some of you, God's stirring up a country you want to go to, and we can pray, or we can give, or we can share, or we can encourage. But it's meant to be doing this together. And I love the example that Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus are, that there's mutual encouragement going on. There's encouragement being sent. There's encouragement being received. There's encouragement that Paul is hoping to go to the churches at Philippi and encourage them, that we're not meant to do this alone. We're meant to serve together in a way that would glorify and honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So the verse I want to kind of leave us with, as we're going to be talking about some application points for today, is verse 21 of chapter 2 says, "For they all seek their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ." And in verse 20, Timothy's example says, "For Paul says, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare." We want to be hearers of God's words, and we also want to be doers of God's word. And as this is kind of like a mini series within this series, the past two, it's all talked about humility and service. So I'm actually going to cut the sermon intentionally a little bit short in a sense of me just sharing about it. We're actually going to talk about practical ways we actually can do this week, that it won't just be more and more knowledge, but actually opportunities to share how can we do this week. So I'm actually going to invite up Glenn at this time, and this is going to be a continuation of the service, and we're going to discuss this, and we'd love for you to be part of this. And so what I'm going to do actually is get our laptop back up again, because we're going to have some questions we're going to discuss together. Glenn and I will discuss them, as well as we're hoping those online, as ways we can practically, like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, serve together and expanding the gospel for Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to sign in real quick over here, and then we're going to look at these questions together.
Thank you, Jim. Great reminder, great message. And the question is, what are some ways that you can show someone else this week how much you care about them? What's something, a way that you can practically show love and care and concern for someone else? And so you can go ahead and drop that in the chat. We're going to collect your responses and read them off just like we did before. And again, I want to give a shout out to Victoria Hocking, who's managing the details behind this.
Great job, Victoria.
So again, what's one way that you can show someone this week how much you care? Maybe it's a small thing. I'm going to give you an example of a small, but it was significant for me and hopefully for them. I'm going to give kind of a small example.
Sure.
And actually, that's a great way to begin, I think, yes. Right? Is maybe with something manageable, something doable, something that maybe is spontaneous even, but it's simple, it doesn't require a lot of time or a lot of energy, but what it does do is it definitely sends the message, I care about you, yeah. I'm concerned for you, you know, I love you. And so we're going to be collecting those responses. So if you could go ahead and share those in the chat, that would be great. I think, Jim, you and I are both prepared to share an example because we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
And God's been talking to us about this, actually. And so Beverly and I, we live in the village of Potsdam in a section where there's a lot of college students that live around us. And we are so glad that that is true. We are always wanting to show the college students how much we care for them and love them. We generally don't get to know them particularly well, but we want to let them know that we care. And so we try to show show them our care and our love. So this week I did something which would be pretty small probably for many people, but it was a big deal for me, and hopefully it was received as a blessing to the students who received it. I went in the kitchen, and I think for the first time in decades, actually.
Oh, this could be dangerous.
Yeah. I baked some cookies.
Come on.
I baked cookies, and all by myself. I didn't burn the house down. And the cookies, I didn't taste them, but they looked awesome, and I packaged them up, and I delivered them with a little note, and I hope that the students that received them felt cared and loved and appreciated and valued. I haven't seen them since I delivered them. I hope they're okay. But in any event, that's a way that I have tried to show someone else that I love and care for them.
That's a great way. I love how practical it is too. I mean, it might be good if you're making cookies to try them, but I'm sure someone else could always taste test it. I love that, Glenn. It's just a practical way, and we want to put God's word into action, so I really appreciate that. And like Glenn said, we've been praying about this, especially in the place of humility, and Lord, and even asking, Lord, forgive us in places where we've been prideful. God, forgive us where we haven't been advancing your kingdom, where you ask us to do that. And so Glenn and I have had some great prayer time with together and the staff and our leaders, and we're really wanting to go out into the world and bless and serve on a weekly basis. So something the Lord's been putting on my heart recently is just to take opportunities when I go to stores, just to kind of have a spiritual antenna up, so to speak. Normally when I go to a store, and specifically I'll do a lot of grocery shopping at Aldi's, I'm kind of like, I know the store really well. I want to get in it and get out of it really quickly. I'm also a tired dad, so normally I'm just trying to do it as fast as possible. But I remember this past week, it was neat. I went in, I prayed in the car a little bit before going in the store, and I was just asking the Lord, God, maybe there's a way I could serve someone or bless someone, you know, in Jesus' name or something, you know. And I was looking around, and it was packed out. I think it was right before the storm, and so it was the most busy I've ever seen it. And to be honest, normally I would just want to get through the store, not talk to anyone, avoid people I know, and just get out of there because I just want to go home and see dinner starting to get made or be part of that. But this time when I went in with that intentionality, and the Lord was so good because I was in this really long line, and there's this nice lady in front of me who I felt the pressure of the lines backing up into the aisles. And if you go to Aldi's, you know what I'm talking about. And as she was getting her stuff on the little, you know, conveyor belt thingy, she dropped like a whole glass jar of tomato sauce, and that just went everywhere. And as you can imagine, like, there's a huge line, like, this is going to stall everything. Typically, to be honest, I'd be pretty upset at this point, because I'm like, ugh, I'm in a line that's not even going to be longer. But thankfully, because Jesus was working in my heart to kind of look for a way to bless people, my reaction was actually totally different than probably normally how I'd react. I saw that this lady definitely felt embarrassed by what just happened. So I decided, I felt like the Lord's like, just redirect all the attention away from her. So I quickly just said, hey, good idea to break it now. I usually buy stuff and break it in the parking lot, which is true, which got the whole store laughing. And then I felt like the Lord's like, redirect any shame or pressure away from her. Another aisle to open up. Technically, that could have been me going into there. But because I saw this as a God moment, I decided I'm going to redirect everyone behind me away from this aisle. That way there's no pressure on her. I offered to help the manager, David, see if he could clean it up. He said he was fine. And I was really just looking for a way to bless this lady. And I really believe she was blessed by this opportunity just to kind of shield her from the pressure of like a line, but also redirect any shame she might have felt towards me or towards not on her. And I felt like it was a really cool Christ moment. Yeah. And so I just want to share that as a practical example, as well as even looking at an opportunity to pray with someone in the store this week and over a parent who was sick and just looking for that. There's people all around us, and especially during COVID, that are struggling and having such a difficulty. If we're supposed to be the light of the world and bring hope, hope needs to be seen in action as well as in word. So those are some of the things.
Yeah, I love that story. I'm really glad that you shared it with us. And I think that that's what we saw in Timothy and Epaphroditus. Is that how you pronounced it?
Okay. You'll say it better than I can.
That's good. No. So I think that, they had more interest in the welfare of others even than themselves. They were willing to, you know, pay some hefty crisis, I guess, right. You know, in a demonstration of their love. And but I think that they were super intentional about it, and that's what I love about your story, is it shows a large amount of intentionality.
Yeah.
You went in, as you said, like with your spiritual antenna up.
Right.
And I think that that's oftentimes what it takes, is just, you know, being intentional, you know, and right. being thoughtful and prayerful in whatever situation we're in. And so I love that story. We have heard from several people have plans to show others how much they mean to them. Ginger Deering is going to send a card to somebody.
Awesome.
Powerful.
Awesome.
Andrea Ellison writes on behalf of her son, Jonathan. Jonathan says, just hug anyone. Anyone, as you're able, as you're allowed to. So, but hug anyone, and that's absolutely true, Jonathan. Marianne Augustine, you know, I'm gonna work on writing some thank you notes. Marianne, that's gonna be awesome. Carol Rose, and I believe Carol, this was you earlier, and I read it as Carol Ross. But Carol Rose said, taking my neighbor to the doctor and grocery store shopping for her. Super practical.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Probably a need there. And so thank you, Carol, for doing that. Stephen Ludlum, you can say, hey, I love you. You can use words.
Right.
Words.
Right.
Words are powerful. So I love you. You can forgive them if there's anything there that needs to be forgiven. And you can just say, I am so glad that you're in my life, and I want you in my life. So, and let them know that you're praying for them. Great response, Stephen. Stephen's mom, Jill, wrote, let someone know that you are praying for them and thinking of them by sending a card.
Mm.
Again, just a really practical demonstration, a card sent with a prayer. Powerful. David Deering, I have a friend at work who's struggling.
Mm.
All right, now think about that. We can probably all think of colleagues or people at work or people in our neighborhood or around us who are struggling. And so what David's going to do in response, I'm planning to send this guy some texts of encouragement, text messages of encouragement.
That's
good. Way to go, David.
That's
May
good.
The Lord
yeah.
direct you. Jill Ludlum also says, hey, I'm going to make special food for someone just because I love them. And that's something
awesome.
That we can all do. And then Jared Deering wrote, send a letter or calling someone, especially someone who may not have been receiving much care or communication during the season of COVID. I can see there's another one coming in. And so these are just great, super practical.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Paul is pointing out with Timothy and Epaphroditus was, you guys were super practical, super intentional in the way in which you demonstrated your care, your love, and your concern for the people back in Philippi, and also to Paul.
Right.
Right. And so, and this is what God is calling us up to these days. Not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word.
Doers of the word.
As you said. Yeah. Totally awesome.
Could I wrap this time up with a verse before I know we're going to get ready for communion? In a moment, and then we'll have a time of praise and worship afterwards. Lord's been putting on my heart is actually a verse in Matthew 9:37. I think we'll have it on the screen as well. As Jesus said this to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the Lord's really been challenging me with that this past week, that there's those out in our community and on these campuses at Clarkson, SUNY Potsdam, SLU, and SUNY Canton, that there's a harvest there, actually. The Lord said there is. And sometimes, to be honest, I just think like, I don't think anyone is really looking for Jesus, right? But Jesus actually said the harvest is actually plentiful. It's not that the harvest is little and the workers are a whole lot. It's that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And if that's the heartbeat of Jesus, that's where we want to be, Glenn and I, all of us together as a body. There's a harvest out there this week for us. That we can go interact with, we can love, we can serve, we can bless, we can share the gospel with. God, can we be part of that this week? Can't change yesterday. We're living today. We can do it today. Lord, can we do it this week? And I want to pray for that as Glenn's going to lead us in communion in a moment, and then we'll have a time of praise and worship. That God, we would be faithful to serve together, be part of those laborers in the harvest. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, sometimes our feelings, our emotions, the circumstance, our country, it can make us feel that maybe people aren't open. But God, your word says that you're drawing people to yourself, that there's open hearts and minds, God, that the harvest is plentiful. The fields are white and ripe and ready to be harvested, God. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us compassion, zeal, passion, love to go out this week and go out, whether it's with our coworkers, folks who see in the stores, neighbors on the street, God, wherever you might lead us, Holy Spirit, that we would come with expectation that there are those who are looking to know their Lord and Savior, and they're just waiting for you and for me to share that and show that with them this week. God, we just thank you, Lord. We pray that you would receive more glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.